Hello, hello. This is Pastor Sam Kim, and this week's message is titled, God Speaks Through People to Help Us. And we're going to take a look at Exodus chapter 18 today. And I just want to just say, in light of events right now that we're facing, you know, facing the pandemic known as COVID-19, you know, our leaders such as Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, California Governor Gavin Newsom, and U.S. President Donald Trump, they've laid down the laws of shelter in place and giving you guys a staycation from school, whether you want it or not. And I've been seeing actually Justin walking around the neighborhood. We happen to live in the same place. And I don't know. I mean, whether it's making you restless or have cabin fever, that's definitely me. I don't like being cooped up, so I try to get out. But I don't encourage it. I mean, stay home if you can, but it's just me. Now, these leaders have set these laws in place, obviously, to protect us, right? Whether we agree with them or not. But we can also trust that God is using these leaders, like our mayor or the governor or the president, to guide us, to protect us. And so, likewise, today's passage from Exodus 18 is a timely one. It's a story of two people trying to protect and lead the people of God. And I just want to say, their story is our story. The story of two people, two men, one named Jethro and the other named Moses. So join me today. Whether you're going to open up your own word on your, you know, laptops or your phones, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Again, that's the New Living Translation. I chose that translation. You're not familiar with all these various translations, it's so that it's kind of more modern speak, you know, something that's not these and thous. All right. So before I even like really do a deep dive into the word, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would please just open up our hearts, open up our minds, help us, Lord Father, to have a posture of teachability. A posture that not only wants to be taught, but a posture that then wants to act upon the lessons taught. So help us and help me, Lord, today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, let me give you a little intro, a little background first, is before we even read chapter 18, if you even look at the first verse, it says, first off, who is Jethro? And if you want to know who Jethro is, it clearly says in verse 1, he's the father-in-law to Moses, and he's the priest of Midian. Now, back in the day, there was an encyclopedia called Britannica. Yes, it was a book, and you had to open it up, and it was a big volume set. Much of you probably today have maybe never even cracked open a Britannica, but you're familiar with Wikipedia, which is like a digital version of Britannica. Maybe a little less trustworthy because, you know, people can make edits and comments as they please. But let me give you something about what Britannica says about who Jethro is. According to the book of Genesis, the Midianites were descended from Midian, so this man named Midian, who was the son of Abraham, by Abraham's second wife named Keturah. And Jethro is a priest leader of the Midianite sub-tribe known as the Kenites. And his daughter, Zipporah, is a wife of Moses. And most likely, whether it be Jethro or Zipporah, they influenced, you know, early Hebrew thought. And it was Yahweh, the Lord of the Midianites, who was revealed to Moses as the God of the Hebrews. So basically, the Midianites, compared to the Israelites, who Moses represents, they're basically cousins. But we find out later in history, the Midianites also become the enemies of the Israelites because they choose collectively, largely, not to follow God, the God of Moses, and the God of Moses' ancestors, going back to Abraham, of course. And we know that Abraham's seed comes through his son, Isaac, and through the mother, Sarah. And so, yeah, it's a little complicated family history, but you need to know that in order to understand who Jethro is. So Jethro essentially is like a very distant cousin in a sense, to Moses' tribe of and kingdom that we say is Israel. And from there, basically, we get to know Jethro. And the term father-in-law, Moses' father-in-law, in chapter 18 comes up about 10 times. They stress the importance of who Jethro is in relation to Moses. Now, I'm just going to go ahead now and read verse 1 exactly as it says in the New Living Translation. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, heard about everything God had done for Moses and his people, the Israelites. He heard especially about how the Lord had rescued them from Egypt. Now, if anything, I really want you to pay attention to the verb heard. Heard. Faith begins with hearing. And honestly, we're listening to my message right now because someone you know or you yourself heard the good news of salvation that comes through Jesus. So right now, if you're struggling in your faith or want your faith to mature, ask God to help you. Ask God to open your heart and mind. Faith increases through our testimonies, right? How we testify of God. It means we had an eyewitness account. So, which Exodus 18 and the Bible is all about. And I just want to share, like, with the college group known as Feast, we had a Holy Spirit retreat. And at this Holy Spirit retreat, one of the first things that we did was share our testimonies, how God had been faithful. And the reason we do that is so that testimonies, again, increase our faith. So that's verse 1. Now, I'm going to skip verses 2 through 5. And it's not because they're not important, but we have a lot of ground to cover today. And it basically talks about how, Moses had struggled and he had kids and they're eventually separated and how they basically are now kind of being brought together again through reunion and quality time. So point 2 is from intro number 1 is reunion quality time. And we're going to jump to verse 6 through 7. And that shows us how to love one another, honor one another, and to care for one another. What I'm going to do is go ahead and read verse 6 to start out. Jethro had sent a message to Moses saying, "I, Jethro, your father-in-law, am coming to see you with your wife and your two sons." Verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed low and kissed him. They asked about each other's welfare and then went into Moses' tent. In other words, we see communication happen. I mean, back then, of course, texting wasn't possible. So Jethro probably sent a messenger ahead of him to tell Moses that he was coming and that he's rekindling this relationship through this meetup. And we look in verse 7, Moses bowed low and kissed his father-in-law. That shows a great respect of honor and also a moment of check-in. And they just kind of model basically how we are supposed to be as a family. Now, the other part like we should go into is we see a warm handoff now between father-in-law and son-in-law by reuniting the family. Again, we don't know exactly why Moses was separated from his wife Zipporah and his two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, but we do now see the reunification of the family. And just take, again, as I said a little earlier, notice how Moses honors Jethro. I mean, do you only bow when it's Hongbao time? Did I say that right? And when I grew up in Korea and in Southern California, for Lunar New Year, I was expected to bow to my elders, wish them good fortune and long life, and then receive sebaedon, which is the Korean way of saying Hongbao. As for like the kissing greeting part that we just kind of covered in verse 7, it's just mainly like cheek kissing. That's very much a part of world culture and still going on in the Middle East, such as Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Tunisia, Iran, and Egypt, to name a few. And a kiss may show closeness and familiarity. And so as they are now rekindling this relationship and through quality time, we can see just how good it is. But let us not forget, as we continue to progress through this chapter, the third part I really want to talk about is the power of testimony. So as we heard in verse 1, you know, Jethro had already heard some of what the Lord had done. But this time, in verses 8 through 9, Moses testified perhaps to save his father-in-law? Question mark? We're not sure. Because we know that Jethro is the priest of Midian, not the priest of Israel, but the priest of Midian. Then if anything, this is an opportunity for testimony to increase faith. So going straight to the verses, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8, Moses told his father-in-law everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and Egypt on behalf of Israel. And I'm going to abbreviate a little here to kind of go a little faster. And then he talks about, basically, Moses talked about all the hardships and all and how the Lord had rescued his people. And then verse 9, Jethro responds with, Jethro was delighted when he heard about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel. Now, I'm going to hammer this again. It's this intention, I'd say, about Moses speaking to his father-in-law. It's the importance of frequently testifying to build not only your faith, but the faith of others. And this is key to how the good news of the gospel spreads, right? That's how the gospel spreads. When we share of our testimonies, we share in the power of God working in our lives, that our God is a living God. And if you're delighted to hear how God rescues others, there's a good sign you're a God follower. Jethro's heart was touched by Moses' testimony, Moses being real and authentic about how the Lord rescued. And it seems that Jethro's faith was growing because he was delighted when he had heard all the Lord had done. One pastor shared that if you want to grow consistently in your Christian walk, you should do the following three things each day. One, spend at least 15 minutes a day talking to God. Prayer. Number two, spend 15 minutes a day listening to God, reading your Bible, and for some, listening prayer. And if you want to know more about that, you can talk to me or Pastor Baldwin. And number three, spend 15 minutes a day talking about God, your testimony, or encouragement to another. And you'll be on your way towards spiritual maturity. It's important to share, because not only are you blessing others, you yourself begin to grow in that belief and faith and practice. And all things, especially most things, if anything, get better with practice. Now, number four, testimony leads to worship. At least that's what happens in chapter 18. When we look at verse 10 through 11, I do wonder, because it's not conclusive, but there might be a chance that Jethro converts at this moment, verses 10 through 11, because Jethro declares the Lord's greatness. And then in verse 12, the leaders modeled worship. The priest and the elders of Israel, along with Moses' father-in-law Jethro, they offer burnt sacrifice together. And that's what they did, at least then. What does sacrifice look like in your life? I mean, God doesn't ask us to give him an animal sacrifice in the Old Testament. Some of us may give it as a monetary or money offering in the offering basket or do something digitally online. But most of all, I would say God is always looking for obedience. He's looking at our heart. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants your soul. He wants you to be a living and perfect sacrifice. He wants us, people of God, to fight for justice, to help the poor, to support civil society in a way that God is pleased with our values that come from the Bible. I'm going to say, though, the longer you live, and as long as, you know, I've lived on this earth at least, I begin to notice that there's a lot of evil and injustice in this world. And as we're all familiar with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he once said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Dwell on that. The power of love is so amazing. Love for others. Love for God. That's what God asks us to do. As we go further along now, down this chapter, we come to, I consider, like point five, Jethro's wise advice to his son-in-law Moses. When we look at the summation of verses 13 through 23, Jethro reveals his gift of administration. Now, if you're not familiar with the gift of administration, it basically is the ability to execute in a logical, clear way someone's plans, visions, goals, missions, etc., in a very logical, fluid way that other people can follow. It's like being able to construct like an instruction booklet and say, do it, and this is how you do it. That is the gift of administration, doing things in a timely manner and time sensitive and making sure all gets done. People know what their tasks are and what they're supposed to do. Administration can look like a lot of things, but basically it's the word of administering. Think about that. And we know that that gift is so real because it was the next day after they had done their sacrifice together and praised and worshiped God because of how good, you know, God had been in delivering Israelites from Egypt. In verse 17, when we look there, Jethro exclaims, "This is not good," talking to Moses, because Moses basically was spending an entire day being judge, being priest, and trying to sort out civil matters for the Israelites, because at this time, there's still no Ten Commandments. At this time, there's no other judge other than Moses. So one man trying to roughly lead about 1.5 million people. And where do we get that number from? We get that number from Exodus chapter 12, 37, which says there's about 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. So if you imagine that's many men, you can imagine there's maybe at least maybe 600,000 women. That makes it over 1 million. And if you think about kids, then yeah, it can go out to 1.5 million, maybe even possibly 2 million. But we don't know the exact numbers, but just going off those estimates. So Moses has a lot of delegating to do, but he hasn't been doing it. And he's making himself tired, and he's making the people around him tired if you read the other parts of the passage, verses 13 through 23. And so it's very important that Moses steps up. And I just really want to basically focus on Jethro's advice that he gives to his son-in-law Moses. In verse 20, he specifically says, "Teach them," the Israelites, "God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives." So teach them. And in verse 21, "But select from all people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. So he's saying, capable, honest people. And I'm going to pause there for a second before I go on. If there's anything you know, there's this man named Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett is one of the greatest investors of all time. And he is currently ranked the third richest man in the United States, which means he's one of the richest in the world, essentially. He's worth over $70 billion. And if you've heard of companies such as Coca-Cola, American Express, Wells Fargo, Geico, Duracell batteries, See's Candies, basically, he has strong shares and part ownership in all of those companies that I just mentioned. And I talk about this because Jethro, even then, nearly over 4,000 years ago, he talks about having capable, honest, and God-fearing people. Now, obviously, there is a spiritual requirement that is needed there. But when Warren Buffett talks about hiring people, This is what's key, and this is from Inc.com, and the title of the article is called Warren Buffett Says Integrity is the Most Important Trait to Hire For. Somebody once said that in looking for people to hire, you look for three qualities: integrity, intelligence, and energy. And if you don't have the first, the other two kill you. You think about it, it's true. If you hire somebody without integrity, you really want them to be dumb and lazy. Basically, that is some gold there that Warren Buffett's talking about. He's saying we have to be honest people. We need to be people. And if you're not honest, basically you can't do anything else. People won't trust you. So everything, I don't know if you've had trouble with lying in the past or, you know, maybe not, or cheating on a test, whatever it may be, God's calling us to be honest people. That's where it begins. The whole reason business even works today is because we trust that one another is going to do a service for another. And if there's no trust, there's no business. And it's hard for our society to function. We have to trust others. And it starts with being honest before God and then to be honest with each other. Now, I'd say the clincher in all of this, as Jethro is speaking into Moses' life, is verse 23. He goes and says, if you follow this advice, the advice of appointing other judges, essentially, and not wearing yourself out, Moses, and if God commands you to do so, then you'll be able to endure the pressures and all these people will go home in peace. So not only is Jethro saying, listen to my advice, but if God commands you to do so. So as people of God, we need to obviously listen to others who have maybe a gifting in such as administration or wisdom or knowledge, but we always have to go to God and say, God, is this something you want me to do? And often that comes from knowing the word of God, right? That comes from being in community. And so it's very important that we continue to exercise this gift of listening, I want to say, and getting good counsel from people like Jethro's, the Jethro's in your life, right? That can be your parents, could be your good friend, could be Pastor Baldwin, it could be, you know, Auntie Christina, you know, Uncle Byron, it could be anybody, it could be me, I don't know. So just remember, there are people in your life who want the best for you, and they probably are the people you should seek out. And when we go down now to verse 24, Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. Now, we have to realize Moses was leader over all Israel and still was teachable, meaning he was humble to acknowledge that he didn't know everything. He recognized that his strong suit wasn't the gift of administration. And if you want to know more about gifts, I mean, the Bible shows us and tells us there are 22 more or less spiritual gifts up for debate that make up our faith community. And in our faith community, there are people with all kinds of gifts. I mean, there's people with gifts of teaching. There's people with gifts of healing. You know, there's gifts of evangelism. There's all kinds of gifts. And if you want to know basically your gift, it helps to know the scriptures that talk about gifts, but also helps to talk to people that know you well and asking them, hey, what do you recognize in me? And gaining that greater self-awareness is only going to help you and being able to care for others and actually care for yourself. So think about that. Now, there were a lot of points I said. I mean, there's five other points. But if I have to say this is the take-home part, because I've already gone over my 20 minutes, I want to say that God places people in our lives to help us. I mean, some of you may disagree, right? Because there are some people that are like thorns. Don't get me wrong. But in our faith community, especially those that are elders, those that are spiritual leaders, you can trust that we're here to help you. And so we ask, you know, that the story of Jethro and Moses become your story, because it is. The God of Moses is your God. And I want to land on two other last points. Recognize others' spiritual gifts. So Jethro clearly had the gift of administration. And by doing so, you acknowledge that obviously you can learn something from another. And spiritual gifts are so that you can live a more fruitful life, a more fulfilled life. And hopefully, all this will push you towards spiritual maturity and help our faith community do more in building the kingdom of God around us, right? To bring justice through righteousness into this world, right? As MLK talked about, right? How light can drive out darkness, how hate cannot be driven out by hate, but hate can only be driven out by love. And the other part, the part that Moses did, even though Moses was a priest with great functions, right? He was still teachable and he was still humble. So no matter how wise and knowledgeable you get, there's always room to grow. Remember, Moses was a prophet, he was a priest, a warrior, and a leader. And so I just leave that with you, that as long as you continue to seek after God, as you continue to be in community, to be under authority, and to be authority one day, I pray we would all grow in these truths, right? Recognizing your gifts, the gifts of others, and continue to remain teachable and humble. And remember the take home, as I stressed in verse 23, and if God commands you to do so, then you'll be able to endure the pressures and all that God puts before you. So I bless you. God protect you. God bless our leaders that lead us, whether they're in government. And help us, O Father, to be that kingdom of Israel that you want us to be, the light and the salt, the love that changes this world. In Jesus' name, amen.